Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Yes. And after you have done everything, to stand. Yes. Mm-hmm. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Mm-hmm. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. Mm-hmm. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Yes. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith. Mm-hmm. With which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Please understand, there will be flaming arrows from the evil one. Mm-hmm. There will be flaming arrows. But God says, you know what? Not a single one needs to hit you. Mm-hmm. I have given you a shield. And that shield of faith will distinguish any arrow that comes toward you. Now, I know you're all standing there and you're thinking through your mind how many faith failures you've had in the last week. Well, I've had so many I can't count them. But I am here to tell you that He will be faithful to the end.
Amen.
We're going to talk tonight about how we handle the shield of faith. We'll believe just about anybody that tells us anything. You know, if we think they're credible, I mean, we all have our favorite news channel we turn on, and no matter what they say, we believe it. Then we turn the weather channel on, and no matter what they say, we believe it. They're wrong all the time, but for some reason, we keep taking that umbrella anyway. Yeah. Yeah, we will listen to our friends. If they tell us something, we believe it. We'll listen to our family. They tell us something, we'll believe it. We don't have any trouble believing man. But for some reason, we have trouble believing God. And God's the only one you can believe.
That's right.
That's right. Let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
You know, it's interesting, but for whatever reason, Satan loves to get us to doubt what God has said about us. And that's the arrows that he shoots at us. That's the arrows that he shoots at us. Did God really say, remember that in the garden? He's still saying that. You're looking at an electric bill. Did God really say he'll supply your needs? You really don't believe that. You better go do something. You better start worrying about that right now. Flaming arrows. Flaming arrows. I want us to see something right up front, though, that's very, very interesting. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. If you don't have this underlined in your Bible, this is a great one to underline. Hebrews chapter 12. And while you're going there, I'll just share a little something with you about trusting people. There was a pastor, and his church was not doing too well. And, of course, we know that we can expect God to keep his word, but how many even pastors will start panicking over money? Yeah. Yep. And then they'll take 15 offerings on one Sunday morning, hoping, you know. That's another whole story, though. But anyway, this pastor decided, well, I don't know. He said, I'm going to have to do something here. I'm just going to sneak the money out of the treasure and go to Dover Downs. So he got to the horse races, and he looked at the paper, and it said, oh, this horse is really fast. So he bet $50, and he lost. The next race, he looked again, and this horse was supposed to be the best horse, and he bet $100, and he lost. Well, he noticed something on the third race. Priest went down, prayed for the horse, and the horse won. He sat there, a priest went down, laid his hand on a horse, prayed again, the horse won. So he goes, ah, this priest knows what he's doing. So he went, and the priest went down, and this time he laid his hand on him, and he walked around him, and he touched him all the way around him, and bent down and touched his feet, and he touched his ears, and just did the biggest prayer over him. And he said, well, that's the horse that's going to win. And he took the whole church treasury, and he bet it on that horse. And the bell went off, and off the horses went. Halfway around the track, the horse dropped dead. He went over to the priest. He said, I don't understand it. I watched you bless two horses and they won. What happened? He said, that's the problem with you Protestants. You don't know the difference between a blessing and last rites. But the point is, we will take a person's word for something and never question it. We just don't question it, do we? I mean, if I tell you, I'll stop by and see you tomorrow at noon, you don't start at 10 o'clock in the morning saying, oh my goodness, I hope she shows up. Oh my goodness, I hope she does this. Where is she? It's 10:30 and I haven't heard from her. Oh my goodness, you don't do that. You just say, Georgia said she'd do it, and she'll do it. But I'll tell you what, God says he'll do something and we do that to him. And instead of just saying, God said it and I believe it and I'm done, we start worrying about whether God's going to keep his word or not. And the truth is, God's the only one that keeps his word. He's the only one that keeps his word. Are y'all at Hebrews chapter 12 yet?
Yes.
Okay. Verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is not only the author of your faith, he's the perfecter, and some translations will say the completion. What Jesus starts, he's going to finish. He gives you the faith and he will carry it through to completion. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You see, we found out that Jesus is our righteousness. We found out Jesus is our truth. We found out Jesus is our peace. And you know what? Jesus is also our faith. He's the author of our faith. Keep your hand in Hebrews and go back to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. We're going to look at verse. Well, let's start at the beginning. This is an awesome psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. It's his faithfulness. Do you see that? His faithfulness is what is going to take care of me. You see, God's faithfulness doesn't depend on man. God's faithfulness does not depend on man. God is faithful. If you kept your hand in Hebrews, you should be right at Hebrews 11. I want you to look at a verse, and then we're going to talk about something. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Okay. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You see, it's impossible to please God without faith. But if you understand that Jesus is the author of faith, when you have Jesus, you have faith, and that's what pleases God. It isn't me mustering up faith, although my faith will grow as the Holy Spirit helps me to grow in Christ. My faith will grow. But Jesus is the author of my faith, and without Jesus, it's impossible to please God. And you will find people that will walk around, and when they want something, they just throw it out there like, some big wish falling out of the sky. But that does not negate the fact that God says that you have faith when you accept Jesus Christ, and that faith is what pleases Him, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Amen. Okay, everybody's with me so far, right? So we've got that faith comes from Jesus, and we need that to please God. Everybody's on the same page, right? Amen. Okay, and we also know that God can be trusted, right?
Yes. Amen.
Okay. I'm going to give you, all right. I was hoping I had some cash with me. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure. Everybody say, being sure.
Being sure.
Of what we hope for and certain. Everyone say certain.
Certain.
Of what we do not see.
Amen.
Boy, if we could understand that. You know, faith, the world says, when I see, I'll believe. The kingdom of God says, when I believe, I'll see.
Uh-huh. That's right.
You see, the world gets it all messed up.
Yep.
You know, they say seeing is believing. Well, I'm going to tell you believing is seeing.
That's right.
Okay? $20 here. Mm-hmm. Okay? Everybody see this $20?
Yeah.
This $20 is a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk to me. Now, it doesn't look like a loaf of bread, and it doesn't look like a gallon of milk. But because I have this $20, I can obtain a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk. You don't see it. It is what I am hoping for with this $20. Money is the currency in this world. Faith is the currency in heaven. Do you get that?
Yes.
Money is the currency of this world. I have to have this $20 to get my bread and milk. In heaven, I have to have faith to receive what God has for me.
Amen.
Do you get that? Everybody understands that, right? Okay, we've got that in our minds, right? That God said, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, but with faith, He will reward those who earnestly seek Him.
Amen.
We heard that with God, nothing is impossible. Is that right?
Amen.
Okay. So, are you believing for the impossible? If anybody in this room is believing for the impossible, raise your hand. Now, the impossible means you can't do it on your own.
Right.
If you hold your hands up.
That's right.
Now, we with your other hand, if you have the faith to say God will keep his word, put your other hand up. Do you see both hands are raised toward heaven?
Yes.
My need and my faith to receive everything God has for me, there is my currency facing heaven. Amen?
Yes.
You got that, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what do we do when things aren't making sense? You see, that's the fiery darts. When I know that God will supply all of my needs and I lose my job, what do I do? What do I do? That's where you take your currency and you go to heaven's bank and you say, I have this need. You see, you never run out of the currency of heaven. You might run out of the currency on earth, but you never run out of the currency of heaven. What do you do when you're praying for something very specific and everything seems to be coming against you? Satan is trying to stop that. And you know how he stops it? When you don't use your currency to obtain what you need.
Yes.
If he can get you broke in the realm of faith, then you won't receive what God has for you. That's his whole goal. And how does he do that? Disbelief. To get you to start questioning God. Oh, you won't question. You know what? I do payroll for my office the 15th of the 30th of every month. And all the years that I've been doing it, I've never had one of them come to me the 29th or the 14th and say, are you sure you're going to pay me? Then trust that I'm going to do it. Are you sure we're going to get paid?
Praise God.
They have put their complete trust in me that I am going to make sure that they get their paychecks. Now, can we do that to God? Or do we start questioning? Do we start doubting? I want you to think about something. We're not going to go there because my time's running short. I've got so much I want to say here about faith, and this is so significant. It's so important that we get this. But if you remember everything Job was going through, first of all, number one, I want you to understand God allowed it, but God did not do it.
All right,
please understand that. We have had so many people say, look what God did to Job. God did not do it. God is not out to hurt you and destroy you. But God allowed it knowing what Job was able to handle. And God may allow things in your life because you know what happens? You turn to God. Well, through all of this, Job's friends showed up, and Job's friends ended up being fiery darts. Because they tried to tell him, oh, Job, it's this. Oh, Job, it's this. Oh, Job, it's this. Job, we're going to fix this in this area of our circumstances. And we're going to fix bad circumstances by talking about bad circumstances. And that's how we're going to fix everything. Look, your bad circumstances are not going to be fixed by talking about it.
Amen.
Your bad circumstances are going to change when you take your faith currency to the bank in heaven and start believing God for what he says he'll do.
Amen.
That is when it's going to change.
Amen.
That's all right. You go right ahead and clap. But finally, after these friends keep telling Job what all his problems are and why he's in the mess he's in, and trust me, most of us that get in a mess, we already know why we're there. We don't need anybody to tell us. And if you're in the same mess after 25 years, you probably should figure it out.